Hi, my name is Lulu Sullivan. I'm 16 years old and I lost my father 3 years ago. After his passing, I struggled a lot, especially when trying to connect with people about my grief.
I created Teen Grief because I've always wanted a resource that dealt with the specific pain I feel as a teenager. That desire for support and the realization that others may feel the exact same way is what inspired me to create this podcast. I hope that my questions for the experts and guests answer some of yours. This is Teen Grief.
Today, I'm speaking with Gary Rowe, who is the multiple award-winning author of more than a dozen books, including Comfort for the Grieving Spouse's Heart, Comfort for the Grieving Parent's Heart, Teen Grief, and Shattered, Surviving the Loss of a Child. He has been featured on Focus on the Family, Dr. Laura, The Daily Positive, Wellness, BeliefNet, Thrive Global, and other national media. A trusted and compassionate voice in grief recovery, Gary currently serves as the hospice chaplain and grief counselor for Hospice Brazos Valley in Central Texas. Known for his engaging style and sense of humor, he is also a popular speaker at a wide variety of venues. Visit him at www.garyrowe.com. Mr. Rowe, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Hi, Lulu. Pleasure to be here. Thanks for asking me.
My first question is getting at the specificity of grief for teenagers. What is the hardest part in your eyes of grief for teenagers, and how do you help them through it?
Well, my first thought is, Lulu, everything. Everything about grief for a teen is hard. Everything about grief for an adult is hard. But having said that, for me, it seems to boil down to three things. The more teens that I listen to, and then going back in my own experience and thinking, because believe it or not, I can actually get back to when I was a teen and think about what that was like with the loss of my father and a loss of multiple other people at that time. The two main grief emotions people experience more than any others are sadness and anger. And I think those two for teens is huge. What I hear over and over again is, this is just so sad. You know, I'm just so sad. Or, you know what? I'm really angry. Why did this have to happen? There are no answers here. What do I do about this? So sadness and anger. But the other biggie is loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, grief is lonely, period. And it's lonely for a reason. You know, Lulu, you're unique in all of human history. There's never been another person exactly like you, and there never will be again. Mm-hmm. Same is true for me. Same is true for every person on the planet. And so the same is true for every relationship we have. It's unique in all of human history. And so when we lose someone we love, there is no one else that can say, and it be true, I know how you feel. That loss is ours. Those feelings are ours. And the loneliness can be pretty intense. And I think for a teen, you know, those emotions, et cetera, I think sadness, anger, and loneliness for a teen, all of those go up on steroids. You know, those are just things that can take over our life when we're teenagers. So those are the biggies. And then the second part of your question was, you know, how do you walk with someone, right, through that? What do you do? What do you do about that? Well, the number one thing you don't do is, and we're really good at this, we try to fix it, right? We try to fix the unfixable. We try to help somebody feel better that, you know what, that's impossible. Anyway, that's just impossible. We try to somehow pull people out of their grief because we're uncomfortable with how they're feeling. So we try to pull them out. What we really need to do, and this is tough, and not many people can do this, what we really need to do is enter into their grief.
Yeah, totally.
You know, enter into their world and be with them in their stuff and accept them as they are, where they are. Because grieving hearts just need a good companion, you know? I mean, we just need somebody who sort of gets us. Nobody's going to totally get us, but somebody who sort of gets us and somebody who can really listen while we talk and cry and maybe scream into a pillow or maybe just scream. So I think that's the biggest thing, Lulu, is if we can enter into other people's grief and accept them where they are and walk with them in their stuff for just a little bit, I think that's huge.
I really resonated with what you just said, so thank you.
You bet.
How can someone who is grieving open up to the people around them and let them enter into their grief, even when it hurts to have those discussions or it feels uncomfortable?
This is a tough one too. By the way, great questions. You just keep asking questions the rest of your life. It's going to be great. You know, here's the hard part. When our hearts are already broken, the idea of opening up to somebody else and maybe them not listening well, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe them saying something really stupid, right?
Yes.
is not exactly something we go, yeah, sign me up for that. You know, we're already hurting. And because of that, we're naturally more cautious, or most of us are, naturally. If we're not, what happens is we just emote all over the place, and then people do crush us, and then we shut up.
Yeah.
So for grieving hearts that are hurting, my bit of advice is that when you want to share about what's going on inside you, to test the waters. In other words, you're with another person. They look like they want to listen, right? They say they want to listen. They say, how you doing? And you say, well, to be honest, I'm not doing so hot. I'm not fine. I'm hurting. I don't feel like me. And I really don't know what to do with any of that. Now, if you say something like that, you can just stop right there and wait for their response. Mm-hmm. If their response is, wow, well, the next movie starts at 5:15, right? Yeah. Or yeah. They say, whoa, well, let's get out of here and go to lunch, you know? But if they just sit there and they say, tell me more about that, or something about them tells you that they're saying, tell me more about that, then that's a good one. Go ahead and speak. But if you're getting the sense that, you know what, they don't want to really hear anymore, then just cap it off and move on. We all need safe people. We just have to find them. They're out there, Lulu. You know that. I know that. Sometimes we're so hurt and a little bit suspicious that we think there aren't any safe people out there, but there really are. We just have to find them. But I think it's important that you test the waters. How are they going to respond to you? Of course, there are safe people out there that are, they might be friends. They might be grief professionals. There are grief professionals out there like me, grief coaches, hospice chaplains, bereavement coordinator at a hospice, etc. These people know grief and they respect it. Yeah. And so they're not going to walk all over your heart. So those people are out there. We just have to find them.
On the flip side of that question, if you're somebody who is being opened up to by somebody else about their grief and you don't know how to respond well and how to not fix it but make them feel better, what can you do?
Great question. The first thing that comes to mind are several things that we should never say to someone who's hurting. I can't exactly tell people what to say because that's a bit of a gamble. That's a roll of the dice. Yeah. But I can tell people what not to say.
Equally important.
Yes. Don't say anything that begins with these two words, at least.
Yes.
At least you're still young. You're still young. At least they're in a better place. At least they're not suffering anymore. At least. Some of those things might be true, and what comes out of our mouths ought to be true, but not everything true ought to always come out of our mouths. It needs to be loving and kind and compassionate. Another thing to never say is the old, you're strong, you'll get through this. Well, maybe that's encouraging to you or somebody else, but typically we feel anything but strong, and so that feels like a lie. So another thing is, well, it's okay. And then there's the obvious things. You'll get past this. You'll get over this. Now, what do you do? I think one of the most powerful things that you can ever say is nothing. Just be there, be present if possible. If that's not possible, if we're dealing with a virtual world or we're texting or we're on social media or something like that, just the simple phrase, thinking of you, communicates a whole lot. You don't even need to tell them what you're thinking about because they know, right? You get it, you know. The other thing that I think is real important if you're trying to support somebody who's grieving is, as much as possible, just listen. Now, I mean listen. That does not mean, oh, I heard them say this and I want to remember that, so I'm going to think about my response to that while they're continuing to talk, right?
Yeah.
But looking into their eyes, admitting up front, I don't have any answers here. I cannot fix this. The best thing that I can do is be a beating heart in front of them and just look into their eyes and listen to them as free of opinion and judgment as possible. Now, that's hard because we all have opinions about stuff, right?
Yeah.
We all want to step in and say, oh, no, 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 don't think that way. Please don't think that way. But we know that doesn't do any good.
Yeah.
So my next question is going in a little bit of a different direction and focuses more on the relationship you have to the person you lost. What are ways that you can hold on to and remember a person you lost that help and don't hurt your grieving process?
There we go again. Great question. One of my favorite phrases is, or sentences actually, is grief is not about leaving someone behind. It's never about that. It is about moving on with them, but in a new way. So what does that new way look like? Well, number one, we never get over a person. We always carry them with us, their influence. We remember their voice. We remember what they said, all of those things. One of the important things that people do, two things, boil it down to two things. Something I call memorials, and then special days. A memorial can be anything. I can look over here at my bookshelf, and I have this giant paperclip that says important on it. That was sitting on my dad's desk all the time that I grew up until he died when I was 15. So when they brought me a box and they said, choose something you want out of here, I chose the paperclip. And there it is. It's over there right now. Every time I see it, I smile.
Yeah.
Now, at first, every time I saw it, I didn't smile. Mm-hmm. It brought other kinds of emotions up. I have, from important people in my life, I have at least one thing like that that I call a memorial. It could be as simple as a rock. It could be a paperclip. I have a pencil that belonged to someone. It doesn't need to be this big thing. It just reminds you of them. Just reminds you of them. And you set it in a prominent place. And when you see it, you automatically think of them. And that's one way you can remember. And the challenge over time is, at first it hurts. But then as you go on and move through your grief, when you look at that, hopefully you're grateful. And it brings a smile to your face. The second thing are special days. Our calendar's full of them. And by that, Lulu, you know what I mean. For somebody who's lost somebody, it's their birthday, your birthday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, maybe July the 4th if it was a big holiday for you, and the date of their death, whatever that is. Those are days that are not moving from the calendar. They will be there every year. And so those days become an opportunity for us to make a simple plan. And this is important. Make a simple plan for that day. Keep it simple. Don't go all elaborate. Just keep it simple and find a way to express your love for them and honor them on that day, whatever that is. So those two things, memorials and special days, can be huge.
Thank you so much. That's great advice. Do you have any final takeaways that you would want
my listeners, teenagers dealing with grief to hear?
Everybody that I've ever known that's lost someone. Kids, teens, adults, struggles with three questions. I boil it down to three questions. The first question is really, am I crazy? You know, no, you're not crazy. You're just in a crazy situation compared to your routine before you lost your loved one. The second one is, am I alone in this? Well, it's lonely, but no, you're not alone. Those are two different things. It's lonely, but you're not alone. And then third, am I going to get through this? Yep. And it really has to do with the people around you. Get around some good people. Get around people who are helpful to you, and limit your exposure to those people who aren't helpful to you. You don't need exposure to them right now. You need healthy people who kind of inspire you, ground you, and when you think of them, you smile.
Definitely. Mr. Rowe, thank you so much for your time and your insight. This is Lulu Sullivan, and thank you for listening to Teen Grief.